This interview is brought to you by Panasonic Lumix G cameras for today's photographer. All right, I'm here with the wonderful, the fantastic, the fabulous, the woman in red herself on the Olin Mills background, Miss Karen Hutton. She is a photographer. She is somehow involved with Stuck in Customs. She's the voice of Stuck on Earth, if you've heard of that application that comes out of Stuck in Customs. She's the voice of Motion X, and I think she should have been the voice of Siri. I'm just saying. Anyway, she's a voice. She's a pretty face. She is an amazing photographer, which is why she's on This Week in Photo. Karen Hutton, welcome to the show.
Wow, Fred, that was good. Thank you.
That's what I do.
This is what I do. Okay, you did a great job. You as well. All right, what did you call me? A multimedia. What did you?
Multimediographer. The multimediographer.
I love that.
Because photographer, videographer, audio person, all this stuff is just. It's too niche, right? We do it all now.
We do it all. We do it all well. They all blend. I have always done multiple things in my life because I was a figure skater. I was a horse trainer. I taught aerobics. I taught dance. I taught skating. I taught everything I ever did. Actor. I was an actor. I'm a voiceover artist still. And I taught all these things. And it was back in the day, you know, when I was younger, you never let anybody know. Like the horse people never knew that I skated. The skating people didn't know I rode.
Why?
Never knew that I acted. Yeah, I don't know. There was just this, it was a culture of, you know, you're not legit if you're focusing on a lot of things.
Never heard of the Renaissance or anything like that.
No, apparently. No, we were still kind of in the Stone Age. So it was really funny. I remember when my riding instructor saw me in an ice show for the first time. I remember being on a platform, you know, doing the moves and looking down, and he was like,
he's just like, wait, this doesn't work. This is wrong.
Yeah, his little mind was like, I can't put it together. Anyway, now we live in a time where it's like no holds barred, and I love it because we can do everything.
You're the quintessential multimediographer because, like I was saying before, you're a photographer, amazing landscape photographer, and other things. You use your voice, so that's another medium, you know, and all these other things that you just revealed, figure skating and all this other stuff. So you've always been a Renaissance type person.
Yeah.
So take me back a little bit. So the beginnings. In the beginning, you know, there was Karen. In the beginning, how did you get? So let's start with the VO stuff. Let's go back that far. What are you doing there? What were you doing there? And how did you get into the VO stuff? Where just one day someone's saying, you know what? Your voice is amazing. You really should use that.
No, nobody ever said that. Actually, what happened was when I was very young, like ridiculously young, single digits even, I remember having this, you know, kids, they talk, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I wanted to do so many things. And I really wanted to do so many things. But somewhere, maybe in my early teens, I figured out that I could do everything. I just had to stack them. So like if I wanted to ride and train horses and I wanted to figure skate and I wanted to do those kinds of things, you got to do those when you're young before you're all used up. So I did those because some of the other things I really, really, really wanted to do, like acting, I could do later. So that's how I kind of like systematically went at it, doing as many things as I could. And the day is long when you're young. So, you know, if you get up at 3 and you're on the ice at 5 and then you go to school, because I went to school and that was where I studied photography. And then you either go home and ride or go back to the rink and skate or do a dance class and then come home and do homework and get in bed and do it all over again 6 days a week. It somehow made sense in my mind.
Jeez, that's crazy. So we're going to jump around in this interview a lot, I feel like. So I'm going to jump forward a little bit. So the VO stuff we talked about a little bit. So
I didn't answer your VO question. It came out of acting.
You didn't. So answer that first, and then I'm going to go somewhere else with that. So how did you transition to that?
I was an actor for a long time, 12 years or so. There's a whole story that goes along with that of didn't like who I was becoming, didn't like, you know, I'm a much more authentic person, and I had no support system and no real way to sort of isolate myself or insulate myself from that world. And it took a toll. It took a toll that I did not find acceptable. So I quit. But I had friends who were like, you cannot quit totally I need your voice. You have to keep doing voiceover. So they would hire me to do stuff. And then eventually I left San Francisco and moved up to the mountains and met my husband, who's an audio, you know, he's a musician and a tech guy. And we set up a studio, and that was how that all started.
And now you have a home studio where you do your voiceover work. And you're still actively doing VO work, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm transitioning in my life. I'm at a point in my life where I've done VO for a long time, and it's great. But, you know, photography was always my first love. Mm-hmm. And I had to quit doing photography in school because I was doing black and white and in the dark room, and I loved it because I love processing. So I loved it in the dark room too. But the chemicals made me sick. So I had to, you know, that dream blew out of the water. So.
And then digital came back and you're like, I can get back.
Finally now I've been waiting because I, years ago we knew it was coming, but I kept looking at the images going, ugh. They're just not there yet. Oh, so when they finally got there, my husband, I was just complaining about the pictures I was taking. And I was like, it's not what I have in my mind. And finally he bought me a little DSLR and handed it to me at Christmas one year. And he says, you keep talking about the images in your mind. I want to see them. Go do it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Look at that. And that had to be the best gift ever, because it was the gift not only to you, but to everyone else, because your work is amazing. Like, you and I were talking, I'm not just blowing smoke, because you and I were talking a couple days ago, and a certain CEO who will remain nameless, a certain company that we won't mention, contacted you on a network that we won't mention to ask you.
And we're not really talking, and we're not really here either.
All this is hypothetical. This is like, I think it was a dream. But he saw one of your shots. I think the shot that you most recently posted as we record this, asked you for a print of that. And this is a CEO coming to you saying, hey, I'm enthralled by your work. Can I get a copy? You know? Yeah. So how does that make you feel? It's got to be kind of awesome, right?
Kind of amazing. I don't focus on selling prints very much. And so when something like that happens, it sort of startles me out of my reverie of other things I'm doing. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And I kind of look left and look right. Me? And, you know.
Which makes it even more cool, because if you're like, oh, yeah, another print sale, who cares? Yeah, I sold one to Larry Ellison the other day, and now this guy wants one, you know? So
that'd be
different. But if it's, it's kind of a special thing when it just kind of out of the blue, right?
Every you know, wonderful thing like that happens, it's like a perfect day for me is when I wake up in the morning and I say, today I want magic. Today, I want miracles to happen. I want to experience magic and delightful and wonderful surprises that I will love. And I want it just to, you know, kind of come from the powers that be. And when it happens, I'm just so grateful. It is like magic. And I feel like a little kid. I get all, you know, like, oh, my God, that's so amazing. That's so cool. It's not that I don't think that I'm good enough. It's just I don't think I do this. You know what I mean? I think it's a power that comes through. And so when wonderful things like that happen, it just triggers my gratitude. And I'm just like, thank you. There's my magic. There's my miracle. Now it's worth getting up in the morning for that.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. So let's talk a little bit about how you landed into photography. Cause it seems like you're picking up speed over there. I mean, you've got, I don't know how many, 2 million followers on Google Plus?
1.57 today, I think.
But yeah, and it grows probably by 1 million a day or something. But you've got more than the average human, let's say.
Okay.
That are connected to you and that you're able to reach. So that in and of itself is a testament to who you are and the quality of your work, and you know that you're worth following by that many people. So take me down the road of all these things. We talked about the multimediographer, the Renaissance woman, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. All these things that you've done, have they led you to photography and where you are today? Or is it just you now photography kind of intersected, the state of photography and the state of Karen intersected at a point now where you can make magic?
Yes, I would say the latter is really very true, because photography was always part of my life. My family, I mean, when my mother died and we went through her stuff, she had these photos of what we think is the Norwegian part of our family coming to America. And these photographs were, I mean, there were so many of them. I mean, somebody was a real shutterbug at some point early on, because this had to have been around the turn of the century, I'm pretty sure, maybe even the 1800s. And they were real clean photos. They weren't all damaged because they'd been taken care of. So, you know, photography and documenting and, you know, our life and our story has really been a part of it for a long time. My sister's an artist. I can't draw. We used to draw horses because we grew up around horses, and she would draw these amazing, still does, these incredibly lifelike, you know, even as a kid. And I, you know,
you're like a line with four legs and a head.
Yeah. Kind of. That was me. It was really disappointing. Yeah. And so it seemed as though art and expression and creating beauty, you know, beauty and beautiful things was always a part of our lives. It's just, I couldn't do it drawing.
Yeah.
So for a long time,
Did you ever do any stints in corporate America, like sit in a cube or in an office or anything like that?
No, I had brushes with it, and I determined from the mere touch of it and the fact that my skin burned off of my body from the touch that I probably wasn't suited to that environment. I've just always been really, I've worked, you know, when I was skating, I paid for my ice time by working for the ice arena, and I worked in a bookstore, and, you know, I did stuff like that. But I've been self-employed pretty much my whole adult life.
And because of that fact, I think you were largely unemployable by corporate America. After you've been out of corporate or not had a corporate job for, I think even if you were a corporate citizen and then you leave for like a year and a half, that taste of freedom is kind of like, you know, you're off the plantation. You're not going back, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's challenging. You work a lot more than people in corporate America do. And,
I love it. It's a different kind of work.
Yeah. It's a different kind of work. I tend to be awfully driven. So I will sometimes work myself into a lather, so to speak, you know, unnecessarily. I'm not like you where everything is just like,
You see that about me. I'm very, like, regimented, like, okay, it's 11 o'clock, we're calling, you know.
I know
I look crap about that from other people in my life,
but I would like just a little bit of that, because I'm more like, you know, I'm like fireworks are going off in my mailbox every day, and it just goes from there. I could use a little more order.
I need a little more anarchy. So, hey, Ebony and Ivory, let's...
Maybe we should do a show.
We should do a show. You know, we'll call it Yin and Yang. Look at that.
Boom. Boom.
So, Karen, I remember, and I don't use MotionX GPS anymore because of the built-in software on my iPhone and all that stuff. But I bought it back in the day before the providers, Apple and Google, were building it into the phones. And I know it's awesome. It's still a really popular app. And you are the voice of that app. I want to know how that happened. And is it weird? Like, do you get people in crowds saying, hey, you're the one that just told me that I arrived at my destination?
No, they don't. You know why? They don't recognize me because I use my my app voice, which is a little more like this.
Do the rest of the interview in that voice, please.
Really? You want me to talk quietly like this? I pull way back. I talk at half volume.
Really?
Wow. And because the microphone isn't designed to, you know, blast. It hears the nuances. The human voice is an incredible instrument. I taught voice for years, as you can tell. But the human voice is an incredible instrument, and it's designed to convey all of who you are, from emotional, physical, you know, mental, every level, through your voice. That's how it's designed. So you can't, if you talk too loud, you kind of flatten that instrument and, you know, cut down on the broadcast of all that stuff. So when you talk a little bit more quietly, you don't have to work as hard to get the nuances across. And in an app, you're working with a very narrow bandwidth of audio.
It has to compress down too.
Yeah, it has to compress. So you have to fill that little bit of, you know, bandwidth with all this, you know, feel. Not that it has to be super emotional, just that you want it to be really, really rich so that it will cut through whatever crap audio, you know, serving that it has to go through to get to the listener. So I talk a lot more quietly and a little more in this voice.
I think I'm going to talk quietly for the rest of the interview, just like this.
Oh, wow.
Would that work?
Let's do it, Fred. Let's talk like this.
This is turning into a very different kind of show.
I think. This is TWIP. What does TWIP stand for?
Let's not even go there.
Week in porn. I had to say it.
You kept it clean. I was going to say a different kind of pee, but no.
Okay. Moving on.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. No hate mail. All right, Karen. So moving right along. So the voice stuff. So, and I could see, I knew we were going to talk. So we could talk forever. You're like,
yeah, I know.
We're like siblings. I love it.
I know. Okay.
So moving right along. So let's jump into the photography stuff. Yeah. And by way of Trey Radcliffe and the Stuck in Customs, you know, Cirque du Soleil team that they have going on there. So Trey, you know, and I mean that in the nicest way, because it's like Cirque du Soleil is very successful, you know, and they do some colorful things. Mm-hmm. But it seems like there's this growing team of really talented people that are coalescing around, you know, in that universe, you know. So I'm assuming that you got connected with that through doing the voice work for Stuck on Earth. Is that correct? So take me through how all that stuff worked.
Okay. So prior to that, I got, like I told you before, I got back into photography, and I had this imagery in my mind. I could see these photographs that I wanted to make, and they weren't just the documentation, the classical photography I'd always done. They were more elaborate. I didn't know what they were. I didn't know where to find them. Someone at my husband's work, he works for Full Power Technologies, who makes Motion X, which is how that whole connection happened. But someone there said, hey, you should check out, you know, there was two or three photographers. One of them was Trey Radcliffe. And so I was like, oh my God, that's the style of imagery. Yeah. I was like, it was sort of like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I'd been making mashed potato mountains, you know, and then finally got the call and I knew where to go.
So you just alienated about 75% of our audience, by the way.
I know. You're welcome for that. And I'll leave it to you to fight for them to come back.
Exactly. So, I'll flash up a picture of who was that actor that built the mountain?
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, building the mountain. That was crazy.
Well, see, there's an image. I'm just helping you. I'm just helping you broaden your horizons, friend.
Thank you.
Okay, so just being, you know, really brief, I learned how to do HDR from his free tutorials, and then he did a webinar, and I joined the webinar. Part of the deal was, you know, get in the forums, you make friends, you know, offer critique and share who you are, what you do, blah, blah, which I tend to be, voiceover tends to be very isolating, a very isolated kind of way. So I'd gotten very, and I thought, well, this would be a good chance to kind of, you know, come out a little bit. And so I did, and I said, I do voiceovers, and, you know, kind of got in there and participated. And it was really weird because I don't normally do that. And he looked at the whole thing and he noted that. So I didn't know that Stuck on Earth was in the works. So when he got to the point of needing a voice, it's always kind of nice to go with someone you have a half a clue about. And checked out my voiceover website, liked what he heard, and got in touch with me, and we did Stuck on Earth. The rest is history. Yeah. And the thing about, you know, I owe Trey a lot of gratitude and a lot to my education of getting started in this way, because, you know, he's kind of like the Pied Piper of, you know, he's just advanced thinking all the time. And
He is.
Yeah. And
he lives in the Matrix. I believe
he really lives in the Matrix. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not as advanced as he is in that way, but boy, I've got just a way of thinking that is kind of different, especially from people my age. Never mind other people in the world. So I just always noticed that I thought, God, he just seems like he's kind of thinks similarly to the way I do, and with our own differences. And I think that was true. And we just sort of hit it off and it all went from there.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the same thing. And, you know, I've known Trey for a while, and
I can vouch for you. You're just as weird as the rest of us. So yeah,
I am. I hide it. I've become really good at hiding it.
Really? It's that military training. I'm not going to let it out. But the bulging veins in your neck give it away. Fred.
Yeah, and right here.
You know. Yeah, the pulsing. And I know you've got mashed potato mountains in the back room.
You have no idea. You wish they were mashed potatoes, I'm telling you.
Whoa. That
would be so much easier to clean up, I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. Ah.
I'm kidding. I kid.
Downhill. You're kidding. Too late.
All right. You know, we've done this whole interview so far, and we haven't talked about photography. So I want to talk about, like, you're a landscape shooter.
And well, you know me as a landscape shooter.
I know. That's right. I know you as a landscape shooter. Mm-hmm. And the most recent shot that I saw was a landscape. And your landscape shots are off the charts amazing. So tell me about that piece of it, and then expand it out into the, you know, are you a general, like, how do you position yourself when people say, what kind of stuff do you shoot? What do you say?
Well, now that we've, you know, Google Plus has been an incredible opportunity to sort of identify what of the things we do Because for me, in the beginning, it was a lot of market research. It was like, well, am I any good at this? And what do people even like? And what is this whole world all about? And landscape was kind of what took off for me. And I love it because I love going out and being at one with nature. You know, that's where I'm the most comfortable. And
it's a solo thing. So it's back to that voiceover thing, right? Do you want a camera and a landscape, right?
Mm-hmm. I know. Because I have friends, I have really good friends who do amazing portraits and street photography. And I like almost break out into hives trying to do that. It freaks me out. I do it as an exercise, but I'm never comfortable. I really love, and it's weird because I can just sort of feel the heartbeat of the earth and I can feel my own inspiration and everything just makes sense out there to me. So it's a real, that's a personal thing. And it's where I most readily feel my mission in life, you know, kind of settling into my body. It's this whole mystical thing. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, I think that maybe comes through my work perhaps.
Yeah. And that's where it's weird because it's different for a lot of people. Like I consider my landscape stuff like, it's okay. I look at my stuff like, it's competent. You know, it's technically correct. It looks okay. People say it's nice. Then I look at yours and I'm like, okay, all right, I understand.
You're funny.
I understand why I don't consider myself a landscape shooter, because that is a landscape shooter. Because your stuff is amazing. It's the stuff that you'd see in galleries hanging up all over the place. My stuff, I think, not to be too self-deprecating, but my stuff I would see like maybe on a postcard, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, your stuff I could see large in a gallery.
Well, there's a place for everything. You know, I don't think there's better than or worse than. I just think there's different kinds. And I love to process, like I say, and I grew up in a family of artists and this just turned out to be my art, not to mention the fact that it, to me, I've always like, there's always been what I do and there's who I am and this other part of who I am. You know, I used to have visions when I was young and I hear voices and, you know, there's that whole mystical part. Yeah. And it never went away. It just sort of found a place. And I find, I mean, for me, it's putting those things together. And when I do that, something else happens. A third thing happens. So when I bring my own signature, my own way of seeing the world, my own way of feeling about life into the work that I do, my landscapes, which I love, I process photos a lot. I'm not a strictly journalistic because to me, it's about creating a story and a statement and something extra. Really imbuing it with who I am and how I'm seeing things and how I'm feeling so that it really bears my signature as a person.
So the post-processing piece of it, I did an interview with Trey and we were talking about that post-processing piece. There's three P's. But it's a hyphenated one in there, so it doesn't matter. but the whole idea of when you go out and you capture these vistas, you are essentially capturing the raw material. So you're capturing half of the story and then you go back into the computer in the Lightroom, Photoshop, Aperture, whatever, and that's where you complete the story. Is that your mindset as well?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. It's 100% that because I photographed a painter painting a scene that I was shooting one day and I was thinking about I was watching her, looking at her work and looking at her colors, and it certainly represented the scene, but it was not an exact depiction. It was absolutely how she viewed the scene in her own mark of, you know, that. And she's able to produce that on the spot because she had her canvas there and her paints and everything was right there. So she did it on the spot. Wow. And when she was done, she was done. I don't have the paints and the canvas. I have to go home for that. So she draws it first and that's her sketch. So I photograph it. That's my sketch. And then I got to take it home to my paints and canvas. She was producing it right there. But it was really interesting because I watched her work and I was thinking, wow, that's just exactly what we do who approach it that way. There's so many ways, so many different ways to approach photography. That's one of the things I love about it. And it's all legit and it's all fantastic. I just happened to do it this way. And I watched her do it and I was like, she's an artist. I guess maybe I'm an artist. I don't know.
That you are an artist. And that's the thing about, you're right. That's the thing about photography. It, not only are there a million different ways to approach and a million different ways to interpret a scene, but the tools to both capture and interpret it later on the software keep evolving and changing. We get new capabilities every month. There's new things that we can do that we couldn't do the month before.
And
it's just, you know, so you can, and then the changes on the software hardware side affect how you shoot. Because you're like, well, now I could actually capture that scene because I have a camera that can capture, you know, high ISO, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. And the thing, and the place where I always end up taking it, which, I mean, I'm always excited when people get excited about photography and learn how to use their cameras better. And I can always help them do that. And, you know, people that I know that are close to me that need that kind of help. And it's great. Where I get really excited, just because it's, you know, so me, is this opportunity we also have to, because the tools are so good, we can literally, those, you know, people who want to express this way, if they hear music, some people, I do this, but some people do hear music when they photograph. If you hear music and you hear it a certain way and it creates a certain vibe, you can go home and find a tool that will help you create that.
Yeah.
And in that sense, you never master it. It's always evolving, because it's always, you're always funneling your, you know, your own feeling about it. And it's like this piece of freedom. I think that's the thing that changes people's lives a lot of time in photo processing, is you get a taste of that. And you're like, oh my goodness, that changes the way I see everything. Because if I can really be who I am and really let this out, it feels so amazing. And then you want more of that.
Yeah, and that's part of the challenge too, though, is finding that outlet. Because a lot of photographers, like, you're lucky, you found that, okay, landscape, that's the switch. I love it. I'm gonna press hard on that button, because I know when I press that button, you know, jujubes come out the other side. So right. I'm gonna keep pressing that button.
Wow.
I know that was a stretch.
Wow.
But when you press the buttons, good things happen is the whole point.
I can't unerase that. And that's going to, like, now pervade my entire day. Thank you for that. And it's early.
Jujubes. So, wow. You heard it first. Frederick Van
Jujubes. Jujubes. No. It's jujubes out the other end.
Out the other end when you press on the button. Then jujubes pop.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
And what was your question? See?
All right. So, Karen, all right. What about... back to the whole trend of Renaissance woman, multimediographer. You also have a show.
Yes, I do.
The Chat, which is wildly popular, right? Mm-hmm. So tell me about that. What was the genesis of that project?
Well, as you know, my background is in media and broadcast, and I, you know, really, it's a life thing. I'm at a point where I sat down and I went, these are the things that I still like to do, that I'd still like to put together in some kind of crazy, you know, pie, photography leading the way, because that's my number one thing. But the other, you know, is, you know, writing and talking and, you know, doing shows and being on camera and doing that kind of thing. Not that the on camera part's the draw. It's the way we can tell a story that way. And I love video. So I came up with the idea of the chat. I wanted it to be just talking like we are now. And so I call it the chat. Soundbite sized insights from some of the coolest people on the planet. And the subheading of it is, it's all about, I'm talking to musicians, photographers, artists, creatives of all sorts who are living their life as an artist, or better yet, living their life as if it were their art. Mm. Because this is the piece that I think we have an opportunity to have, you know, by doing what we do, is there's so many people now that are putting their lives together in unconventional ways that involve their art, that involve fulfillment on a, like, a soul level, an artistic level. And they pay attention. Like, we'll sit there and process a photo and we'll spend hours on it. We'll focus on every little, you know, nuance and every little thing, and all this, you know, focus goes into it. And then we just kind of go out and live life as if whatever, and mm-hmm. we're stuck in patterns or stuck in relationships or jobs or whatever. And I'm like, but why, if you have this piece of freedom here, why not take it out into your life? And people are doing it. Who are they? And those are the people I'm talking to. And I'm very fortunate because I know a lot of people like that. Yeah. And I'm starting with the people that I know. And there's just this short show, 15-ish minutes. And we just talk about how they do what they do and what they love about it. And, you know.
I love it. Is this a YouTube only show? Is it a podcast?
No, it's on my blog, blog.karenhutton.com. And every new show I post on Google+ and Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest. But the blog, you know, like I say, blog.karenhutton.com is, I've got a category.
All roads lead to the blog. And then
to the blog. Yeah. And of course I have a YouTube channel as well. Mm-hmm. I've had that YouTube channel for a really long time, back when I was only doing voiceovers. So I'm stuck with the name Karen Hutton Voiceovers.
Oh.
I'm like,
You may be able to maybe pull a string or two to get that changed.
I don't know. I have to look into it because it's really stupid, but that's my channel. And the
that's
chat
very forward looking of you, Karen. I like that.
Yeah, I try to be that way.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. So all the stuff that we've talked about, we've talked about, you know, the early days, we've talked about the VOs, we've talked about photography, we talked about Stuck on Earth, Stuck on Customs.
Did I ever actually answer any of your questions?
You did. You've answered everything, but I want to know the big giant question that's looming in my head right now is, where are you going with all this? What's the holy grail? What's the touchdown line? I mean, is it the Karen Hutton Network? Is it, you know, what, you have a show, like you're going to, you know, supplant Oprah and Tyra and have a show on network TV? What's the holy grail for Karen Hutton?
You know, the holy grail is the same as it is for a lot of people, which is I want to do what I love to do. You know, be paid well for it and be able to live the life I want, which is being able to travel around when I want to, have flexibility, and have a great variety of things that I do.
Love it.
And so I have a, you know, from that bigger vision, I have, you know, visions for each of the things that I'm doing and how I imagine that that ties into this bigger vision. But that's the drill, because, you know, I'm at an age where I keep talking about age, but I think we do go through passages and times in our life where you look at the rest of your life and you're like, what do I want that to be like? Mm-hmm. And I'm at one of those points where I'm like, what do I want the rest of my life to be like? I don't want to work as hard and, you know, be like a battering ram to make this thing happen. I want a life filled with magic and miracles and, you know, wonderful things where I get to do the things that I love to do. And there's a variety of them I still want to do. Photography's top of the list. Yeah. And get to process photos and travel around the world and have my husband go with me and, you know, and do this together and for as long as we want to.
Yeah.
So that's
what it's all about. I mean, that's the perfect answer, because it's, I don't think there is any, you can't really extrapolate out, you know, 10, 20, 30 years or whatever, saying, okay, this is where I want to be. You can maybe aim kind of in that direction and do things, but, you know, it's, unless you're on a finite path, like you're in the military and you could say, you know, when I'm 4 years in, I will be a master sergeant or a staff sergeant or whatever. You know, you can extrapolate that with those kind of programmed activities. But in our world, where things change every 5 minutes, opportunities present themselves that weren't here last week. You meet new people that change your whole mindset all the time. You know, it's, you kind of like to sort of move and keep going in that direction, but you're moving like this. Right.
I, in my life, have been driven enough and I've lived long enough now to have tried it just about every way you can. So I know from personal experience the difference between setting goals, because I was raised in a goal-setting environment. We had family meetings and classes when I was, you know, 10, 11, and 12 years old on goal-setting and public speaking and salesmanship and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. So I was a goal-setter early on, but I find goal-setting is good and you do accomplish things, but like my voiceover work was a goal. And I got there and I went, is this all there is? It wasn't enough. So I love it. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from that. But I have had the opportunity in later years to try the thing where, all right, so maybe I don't know exactly the thing that will fulfill this, but what I want to feel every day when I wake up is this. What I want to contribute to life is this. The legacy I want to leave for other people from all the things that I've learned and have been is this. These are the things. And I can't tell you, you know, precisely, but I know how I want to feel when I wake up in the morning. I know how I want to feel about my life when I look at it and look at the things I have to do. I want to love it. Mm-hmm. And that's, I'm finding, really opens me up to a lot more opportunity and ideas and thoughts about how to accomplish that than I ever had when I was like, I'm going to do this, 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 and this.
Yeah. The mortality thing that you mentioned, I think as I get older, it becomes more and more top of mind, because it becomes like, if I were to kick off today, you know, how would people remember me? Have I done anything? Have I contributed to the gross national product of Earth enough that my being here for these few decades made sense? Or And which, and if not, what should I do now to make it make sense that I was actually consuming oxygen and had a carbon footprint?
Well, and I think it's appropriate to have those later in life. Although, strangely, again, as a child, I knew that I wanted to be someone. I knew that I had a mission, and I knew that I would be someone that would contribute, and I wanted that. That's what I felt would fulfill me as a kid, which is kind of weird.
Wow.
But you live this life and you acquire, I just think you have to acquire a certain amount of experience and skills and hone yourself and have disappointments and breakdowns and all those things and come back from those extra strong and understanding what people do experience and what, where you can offer something with this, you know, plethora of experiences and skills and passions that you have. And at a certain point, you have to live long enough to get those, and then you arrive at a point where you're like, all right, what am I going to do with those? And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
See how smart you are. So you were having those kind of thoughts when you were a kid. I was building mini bikes and, you know, taking magic lessons in Port Jefferson, New York. That's what I was.
Well, see, you had magic as part of it. You just thought it meant that.
You know, I had magic, yeah. And I still have magic. I'm still an amateur.
You
know,
are you
magician.
Really? Yes, oh, my God. I did not know that.
Coin magic, sleight of hand.
All right, you got to show me some tricks the next time we get together.
I will. I'll need a $100 bill, and I will show you how to make it disappear.
I can do that.
Yes, very easily. But Karen, so I've heard a lot of presences. You've got a lot of social media footprint. Is it easiest for people to just Google you, Karen Hutton, or should they just go to KarenHutton.com? What's
KarenHutton.com. I revamped KarenHutton.com to include all of my stuff. So all of my web, my current web presences are there, as well as my social. So that's a good start. You know, if you just want to go to photography, it's Karen Hutton Photography. I am really active on Google+ and Facebook. I get myself so busy. I'm trying to keep up with Twitter and Pinterest and all the others, but
I know. It's not easy. You might need an assistant. I'm thinking you should probably hire a minion or something.
I need a few minions. Yeah. I'm going to take some lessons from you on minionizing, because I need to minionize my parts of my life anyway.
Yeah. See, the way that I structured my minions is we are all minions.
I was just going to say that.
It's not like there's a big head minion and little minions. We are all equal minions working towards the same goal.
Because see, I figure I know so many people with different talents. I figure, you know, and I look around and I go, and I have these and you have yours, and then, you know, these other people over here have theirs. If we put us all together, we're almost a whole person.
Minus the head, right?
Yeah. We can almost cover it. It's funny.
Anyway. Karen, it is always a pleasure talking to you. You know, and the chat, your photos, all the stuff that you do is just amazing. Keep doing it, please. And I have to ask you, I have to put you on the spot, and as I do for a lot of our guests.
I'm nervous now.
You have to come on This Week in Photo as a co-host. You have
Seriously?
To come on the show. Yes.
You have to come on. I would do that in a
awesome.
Heartbeat.
Done.
From your place?
You're
going to
be in our 2014 lineup. So.
Really?
Yes.
From your house?
You're going to be sitting right there. You'll be sitting right there.
Oh,
you know, there's this whole internet thing. And
I forgot about that.
It's amazing. It's all the rage.
I've heard of the internet. I just never really ever thought I would have access. That's incredible. Yes.
You're on. You're on.
Oh, my
God.
Thank
you, Karen.
Okay.
You rock.
You rock more. I was going to say you rock harder, but then we go downhill again.
Here we go again.
You'll never recover.
It's that red. It's the red you're wearing that's making you go in that bad direction.
I don't know what you're talking about. Fred Van Johnson, you are awesome. And thank you for having me on this show. And I always love talking to you, and I could do this for hours. But
likewise. Thank you, Karen Hutton. I will be in touch.
Fantastic.
Bye.
Peace out. Bye.